The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello everybody for another week of specials and TV betting. Reality Rob Dixon, not here. His ever-present record in doubt here. He's in New York on honeymoon with his new wife. So we thought we won't ring him up in New York. It's not fair. What we've done instead is get someone better than him. Andy Holden, Mr. Strictly Come Dancing, is back in the house. Hi, Andy.
Good to be back, Lou.
Yeah, good to have you back. Strictly finally starting. It's always a weird time of year, isn't it, when they have the programme, then they just go off for 2 weeks, training, yeah. What have you. And we're back. We're going to talk about that in depth. Just a quick word on X Factor. No new prices. The betting changed slightly. Last week we had Melanie McCabe, Abby Alton and Tamira Foster all 11-2. Melanie McCabe stayed there. Abby Alton and Tamira Foster have drifted out slightly to 6-1 each. Nicholas McDonald, the best of the boys, at 7-1. Chrissy Rhodes, 8-1. Sam Callahan, 9-1. Joseph Whelan, 10. So is Paul Acaster. Sam Bailey, also 10-1. 14-1 for the groups Kingsland and Bricks, and 16-1 for Brick City. 16s for Hannah Barrett, and 20-1 and bigger the rest. Very quickly, Andy, I know you take a keen interest in this as well. Tricky to have a bet right now, isn't it? We don't know quite what's going to happen. We're into the boot camp stage this week. Then we get judges' houses. Then we're into the live shows. So many lists hovering around. So many opinions and rumours. Is there anyone you could confidently have a wager on at the moment?
Well, I certainly think the betting's right anyway with regards sticking Melanie McCabe in as favourite. Of course, she's been there and done it, so to speak. Got to judges' houses before. The rumours are around that she's got at least that far this year. She certainly deserves to make it to the final 12 because voice-wise, I don't think anyone can touch her, really, certainly from a female point of view. Obviously, you've got Tamara Foster and Abby Alton have both got their own little thing going on. Tamara is very much a here and now artist, isn't she?
Yep.
You could see her being in the pop charts, whereas Abby Alton's very much got her own little style.
More of an acoustic, folky type style, isn't it?
Very similar to the girl who was in the other show.
Voice.
Not The Voice, the other show.
Britain's Got Talent.
What was her name? She got down towards the finals.
My mind is awash with names of reality stars and talent show
stars. She's actually brought an album out at the moment. Anyway,
who's that?
I can't remember her name.
And Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah,
I can't remember either.
You recording?
Yeah, Specials podcast.
No, you're actually recording.
Yeah. I'm going to walk in on the golf podcast next week. This is important stuff. Come in, sit down and listen if you want to. I can't remember.
She was very quirky. She used to sing. She sung her own songs, very very much.
You sure you don't mean the girl who was on X Factor, the one who disappeared halfway through the season?
Oh, it was X Factor. Yeah. It was last year, wasn't it? Sorry, yeah. Of course I'm getting mixed up. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's easy to do. I've seen her live and I've forgotten her name.
What podcast is like?
Yeah.
When it's edited down, yeah.
Yeah. When you're edited out of it. that was the boss just storming in, basically.
I should have got my facts right before I started.
You do get mixed up. That's the thing with elites. You know, it's all a wash. That's what my brain's like. And I still can't remember her name now. I've seen her live.
Black-haired girl that played the guitar, yeah. Sung her own songs.
Lucy Spraggan.
Lucy Spraggan.
Boom.
She could be very much a Lucy Spraggan-esque kind of performer, Abby Alton.
But those artists, Andy, Abby Alton, you know, the ones who have got a bit of a niche, if you like, they don't do it.
No.
It's your artists who can sing everything and who are universally popular win.
Exactly. You've got to think beyond just a good voice now. Yeah. You've got to think who's going to sell to the masses, who's going to appeal to the younger generation, who's going to appeal to the older people who obviously they're not necessarily going to vote in their droves as they are the younger people. So you have to try and think outside the box, look a little bit further down the line. Who's going to be singing all the variety of songs that all the judges and the producers are going to throw at them? They'll do, obviously, speciality stuff. They'll sing their own stuff. They'll be doing, like, Beatles Week, ABBA Weeks. You've got to have a very, very versatile person mentally, and the voice has also got to last all the way through those 10 rounds of, scrutiny. So that's what you've got to contend with. And I think Melanie McCabe... Yeah. Pretty much ticks all the boxes. She looks great as well. I think a lot of young lads will go for her. I think she's a fairly inoffensive kind of character as well. Plus the fact that she's from Ireland, you've got all the Irish vote.
Yeah.
So I think William Hill's compilers, Rob Dixon, etc., and all the people who at the moment are making a favourite are absolutely spot on in their assessments.
Yeah. Let's have a look at Strictly then, because it all gets underway properly this weekend. Friday night at 9 o'clock is the first of the shows. The outright prices haven't shifted too much. Natalie Gummiday is 9-4 favourite. Ashley Taylor-Dawson, 7-2. Rachel Riley, 6-1. Susanna Reid is sixes. Sophie Ellis-Bextor 9-1, then Ben Cohen at 12s, 14s for Abby Clancy, 16-1 Patrick Robinson, 25s for Fiona Fullerton. Julian McDonald, the fashion designer, is 33-1. Mark Benton is the same. Dave Myers is 66s. So is Deborah Meaden from Dragon's Den. Then you've got Tony Jacklin at 100-1 and Vanessa Feltz the same price. We've got a top female, top male, and the gender of winner betting. I mean, really, Andy, you look forward to when we've got the individual prices on the top scores week by week. But all the videos are out there, the first steps training videos. Pretty illuminating as well. We spoke a little bit last week about Patrick probably being one of the standout from the first set of videos that was released as to how good a dancer he looked with very little training, it seemed. Anything else you've spotted from those videos?
Well, he was the big surprise, wasn't he? Yeah. Patrick, don't know much about him, I've got to be honest, because I don't particularly... what's the programme he's in?
Casualty, isn't it?
Casualty, yeah.
But he's a very recognisable face, though, isn't he? I don't watch it, but I thought, I've seen him around. I've seen his face before.
I've got a feeling he could go down the line of Colin from last year, mm-hmm. who looked very good in the first couple of shows, yeah. showed some good skills, but whether he'll progress beyond halfway and get into the meat of the programme is very much open to debate. But he's a 16-1 chance currently at the moment with William Hill. And he's the one who looked a little bit more lighter on his feet than we thought for quite a big guy. I mean, he's not a huge lad, but he's well proportioned. He's got a good frame to him, obviously good upper body. Again, you've also got to look at his partner. He's got a new partner, Anya, this year. Whether that's going to gel, whether that's going to catch the public imagination. But he's someone at the moment who you could think there's a bit of mileage in his price, whereas I think looking down the front end of the market's pretty... got it right in as far as potential. Natalie Gummiday obviously comes from a stage school background. She looks very elegant. Obviously, Artem Chubinsek, very popular dancer as well. Done really well before. He's won it with Cara Toynton. Yep. Very similar kind of build lady. Obviously, Natalie's in a high-profile TV programme as well. So she's got all the tools to be very good at it. And just in the early snippets, what we saw on the training videos, she looked as though she got good poise, good grace. Yeah. And you'd imagine with 2 weeks under her belt, what Artem's obviously going to put her through, she could be very good.
We noticed last week in the first steps videos, there was no dancing whatsoever in hers. It was just her walking up and down. They don't want to show the public how good she is.
No.
And there's a danger that she'll get marked down a little bit early on. Is that a bit of a trend when someone's good, the judges will overmark them a little bit just to keep a bit of a lid on it?
Well, there's just two schools of thought, isn't it, with Natalie? She could be very much like Denise Van Outen was last year, falling foul of the victim of being having a little bit of...
Yeah.
Back class, if you like.
Yeah.
She's a bit, like I say, she's been to stage school. She's already been well grounded. She's got a good dance background already. So you could argue that she's got a bit of a head start over the rest.
Yeah.
And whether the voting public buy into that, they actually like that. They like someone who starts from scratch, right? Blank canvas. You've never danced before.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see a geese become a swan. So that's the only slight negative I would have about Natalie. If the public go against her because of that head start that she's received.
Yeah. Who else is in pressure then from the training videos? So there's been a bit of chat about Abby Clancy. I noticed one of the other contestants was saying they thought she'd go far. Anyone in the list other than Patrick?
Well, I quite like the prospects of Ashley Taylor-Dawson. He's very much like the eye candy for the ladies. We know that kind of character does well year in, year out.
Good partner as well.
Good partner as well with Ola. That should be a very dynamic duo. He looks quite good as well. At least we saw a few dance moves of his in the training clips. And he looked quite confident, didn't he? Sort of striding out, sliding down on his knees and throwing himself into it. Obviously, I always think these actors have always got an advantage over the ones who can't portray their feelings, if you like. We saw last year with...
It's quite embarrassing.
It is.
You imagine, you know, getting up there suddenly. I mean, Robbie said this when he was in. That's a big step to make. Learning the steps is one thing, but then actually going out there and kind of
performing.
Making a fool of yourself
a bit,
which you have to at times, don't you?
Well, you almost have to put yourself into another character like a lot of the actors do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't envision themselves as being this person. They almost have an alter ego, don't they? We saw it last year with Louis Smith. He had problems in the first two or three rigs, really letting himself go. We knew he could dance. He got all the basics right, but actually expressing himself was the real problem. Whereas Ashley, I don't think I'll have that problem.
No.
So he's got a lot of things going for him. The only negative I've got with him as well, I'm looking for a case of the prosecution as well with him, is he's obviously got a very, very busy schedule in Hollyoaks.
Yeah.
And that fell foul of Ricky Whittle, didn't it? He was in that programme. The schedule they've got, the soap stars, takes its toll after the weeks and weeks and weeks of training. But when you get into the meat of the programme towards the back end, when they're doing two and three dances as well as doing their own show, it can have an adverse effect. So, like I say, I'm just looking long term of that they look appetising now at their prices, but you've also got to weigh up how much, how further they can go with all the other side things that they've got to involve themselves with.
Yeah. Do you think the way the betting's framed, the women obviously are dominating the top of the market, really, aren't they? You can tell that from the top female market. The top male market's interesting because, I mean, you've got Ashley Taylor Dawson at 8 to 11. I mean, the rest, I mean, it's hard to make cases for any of the others. If you can pick one to take him on, you've got a chance. I mean, that 5-1 Patrick Robinson might be their bet. I don't know.
Well, some firms, I don't know if William Hill are doing this yet. They do match betting, don't they?
Yes. I don't think Hills have put any price out yet.
Well, there's no way that Rob's going to go Ashley Taylor Dawson in a match bet with anyone because there'd be massive odds on.
Yeah.
But he might, for instance, go Ben Cohen, Patrick Robinson, two fairly sturdy fellas. Yeah.
Mark Benton, Dave Myers, maybe.
Possibly, yeah. That's a bit more difficult one to call, but I'm just using those in the benchmark.
Yeah, I get you.
I've seen Ben Cohen enough of him to suggest he might struggle.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got the flexibility and the lightness on his feet that perhaps Patrick Robinson has, and yet he's the bigger prize, Patrick Robinson. I actually think, we both do, that he could be the surprise package of the males. Mm. He looks quite a graceful fella as well. I think he'll do well in hole, but more importantly, I think the Latin is always the one that kills these stars. They might get away with it when they're in hold and they can, if it papers over the cracks, doesn't it? But when you're asked to do, you know, the likes of the rumba and the cha-cha-cha and stuff like that, when you're out of hold with your partner, when you've got to express yourself, that's when they really do come unstuck. I think he'll be all right, Patrick. He does look very, very light in his feet for a big fella.
Yeah. Yes, I'm intrigued by that market. Ashley Taylor Dawson justifiably the favourite, but I think it's quite a weak male lineup this year.
It is, yeah. I mean, you've got Julie McDonald, obviously, who's a strictly sort of extra, if you like. Yeah. He's been dressing the stars, hasn't he, in that department for quite a few years. But then the bottom three, your Mark Bentham, David Myers, Tony Jacklin, are all very much the kind of, almost like the Stooges, like the Russell Grants that will probably get through the first couple of weeks on sympathy vote, but then they're going to really struggle because they just haven't got the physique, the energy, the drive that some of the more established stars in the show have.
Yeah.
So I think it'll work itself out over the weeks. I think Natalie's a worthy favourite. I think, like I said, the betting's right. But if there is going to be one that's going to jump from left field, and you perhaps want a bit of fun at a big prize, Patrick is the one.
Excellent. No elimination prices as yet because the first elimination isn't until next week. So the first week, the show that we've got this weekend is basically the couples dancing for the first time, isn't it? Then you get the second set the following week. So you only get to see six of the couples this week. So we'll have to wait until next week before we can have a bet on who goes first. But I think there might be a bit of value there as well, because I think Vanessa Feltz and Tony Jacklin will be the favourites, won't they?
I think Vanessa will be all right, you know.
I think she will. I think people have got a bit of a... I think she's a bit of a love-to-hate character, isn't she?
I like her. I think she's got a really good attitude in life.
Really larger-than-life personality,
hasn't she? Could be a very much a Pamela Stevenson kind of lineup with James Jordan as well. He's the kind of guy who'll get something out of a middle-aged lady like that, who's got a bit of bit of go about, if you like. So yeah, that's an interesting little setup with those two. Rachel Riley, of course, she could be quite good. You've got Sophie Ellis-Bextor, two very easy on the eye girls with the kind of bodies and the physique to do really well if they can apply themselves. Abby Clancy, you mentioned, she's a very popular character. Got a really good partner as well to take her beyond the sort of halfway stage. But you can't really tell. We're just, if you like, going through the runners and riders and speculating.
And those videos that we've watched, we have to bear in mind that they've been edited to show what the producers want to show. And I know it's not as convoluted as the X Factor and other things, but still is a little bit. They still only want to show us a certain amount, don't they?
Well, a lot of it is just on the first couple of days, isn't it? Who knows how things have gone in the next 2 weeks?
Because those videos have been out for well over a week now, haven't they?
Some of them have got dust on them, haven't they? The first couple.
Yeah.
So, I'm really looking forward to it, as always do. This is a really exciting time, isn't it? Because we're all trying to search for the nugget in the pile of dust. And
the nugget's in New York. That's where.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the first couple of weeks are very important. Just you'll get an early flavour, won't you? You'll immediately know how you see someone. But it's not the be-all and end-all. That could be brilliant in Latin, but they might not necessarily be good in the other department.
Yes, yeah.
So until we see the first couple of weeks, how they've gone, then we can make a real proper case and start betting properly.
Excellent. Andy's got to go and do his proper job, which is as a pundit on William Hill's Racing Radio. So thanks, Andy. We'll
speak to
you throughout the series,
yep,
of course. The rest of the specials betting is available on site. You've got the Mercury Music Prize. You've also got the Downton Abbey specials, music specials on there as well, plus the Spotty, as usual, and plenty more. So check all those out on the William Hill TV/specials tab on the website. We'll be back next week with Rob Dixon back with his reports of his honeymoon in New York. If you're having a bet on any of the markets over the course of the weekend, then very best of luck to you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.